When I attended Fried Hardeman a long time ago, I think I started there in 1978 to 1982. But one of my college professors, a Bible professor, was telling me about when he was a young man, before he became a Christian. And he mentioned that he had attended a tent meeting, back in the days when they still did tent meetings. And he said he was amazed because the preacher, the minister, could heal people. And he told us about some of the things he saw. And he said one of the things was he saw a man get out of a wheelchair, walk up the stage of the stairs because he believed, and walked across the stairs and had apparently been healed. And he thought about it. He said it took him a number of, I guess it was about 2 weeks, and he thought about it and thought about it and decided, yes, that was a real miracle. I need to go back to that man and find out what it is I need to do to be saved. Well, he found out that this man had a tent meeting, you know, not too far away, in a neighboring town. And he said he went to that tent meeting, and lo and behold, the man that was in the wheelchair was still in a wheelchair. And he said, if God would truly heal someone, would he need to go back to the wheelchair? If God would heal your back when you have a bad back, does that mean that you'll have problems with your back later? But yet, many people who think they've been healed still have problems with their back. I've even heard church members tell me, I was in such and such a place, there was nowhere to park, and all of a sudden, the car pulled out. A miracle. And he parked. Serious. They thought that was a miracle. And such thinking has led me to the point where I think it's time that as Christians we discuss miracles. That we discuss providence of God, and that we discuss supernatural things. The reading tonight. Verse 9 was important. The man of evil will come by the power of Satan. He will have great power and he will do many different false miracles, signs, and wonder. We tend in Western society to think of Satan as powerless. We laugh at Satan. We just push these thoughts away from us. But would the Bible describe powers to Satan if he didn't have them? I'm sure Satan is more than happy to have us laugh at him and assume he doesn't have powers. But Satan, according to scriptures, has powers to perform miracles. Powers to perform signs and wonders. And I think it's time we take a biblical look at a few things about the unseen world. And today we're going to start a look at miracles, and we'll be looking at the thoughts of miracles, signs, and wonders on a number of Sunday nights when I'm preaching, so that we might come to an understanding. But just what is a miracle? It's important that we know that. What a true biblical miracle is. Is it a miracle when our car runs out of gas and we're next to a gas station? Or is it an unexpected gift at a time when it is needed? These are all reasons for thanking the Lord, but are these things miracles? The relationship of miracles to Christianity is a matter of great importance. Did our Lord not do miracles? The apostles and even others? And when in the Bible a miracle happens, Were there those who questioned the miracle? I think of Moses when he raised his hand and God split the Red Sea. I doubt anyone would have questioned that. Or when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and people knew he was dead. That was a miracle. Compared to some miracles that people are claiming today, today's miracles are pitiful. But God's miracles were always revered with utmost clarity. God was glorified, and no man played a part in it. Do you think the people of Israel thought Moses did it by holding up? Well, it was his rod, wasn't it, at that time? It was later the arms were held up. Do you think they thought, oh, Moses is powerful? Think they gave credit to Moses for that? So a true miracle in the Bible glorified God, and man clearly played no part in God's miracle. An accurate definition of miracle is the primary concern for modern man. We must not let our emotions run away with us when we see something wonderful happen that was the providence of God. Yes, I think God does things for His people. At times that we least expect it, I think God does things for us. And I believe that God can do miracles even today, though many of our brethren deny it. But wrong definitions lead us to wrong conclusions. Even when a sincere Christian has the wrong definition. The cause of God and truth are not served by definitions of miracles that in any ways confuse us as to the works of God. Because as we see, the Bible says miracles can be done by Satan and by his workers as well. So not all miracles can be attributed to God, can they? So where do we find a true definition of what a miracle is? The Word of God. To understand miracles, to understand the works of the unseen world, we must turn to the Bible, because who can describe the powers and the unseen things but God? Psalms 119, 130. Learning your words give wisdom and understanding for the foolish, says the psalmist. Or 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by God and is useful for teaching, for showing people what is wrong in their lives, for correcting faults, and for teaching how to live right. Using the Scriptures, the person who serves God will be capable, having all that is needed to do every good work. Not some good works, every good work. The Bible teaches that it is enough for mankind to do all good works if we study the Scriptures. But unfortunately, we live in an age that loves paraphrasing. Isn't that true? Fewer and fewer people are content to study Scripture as it was given to us. They want to paraphrase. And unfortunately, paraphrasing tends to do what? It can very well change the meaning. It can clarify, but it can change meaning. And I think it's potentially dangerous when we paraphrase. We need to study the inspired words of God as God has given them. And some authors have forgotten this principle when discussing miracles. Our God is the God of truth. And he is not glorified by us when we modify or change his word. Miracles. Miracles, from the very term, means that they are superhuman events. I can't do a miracle. Charlie, can you? Miracles are done by superhuman beings. They are wrought by a power greater than mere humans possess. The New Testament, and we read it here, normally describes miracles in three terms. Now, I'm quoting from the American Standard Version: signs, wonders, and mighty works. Modern translations translate that last word miracles, though mighty works is probably a better translation of the word. So the true nature of a miracle cannot be described by one term alone, can it? The Bible uses three to talk about miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles are mighty works. I think all of them together better describe what miracles are than one alone. Maybe each one looks at a different perspective. Let's take a look at signs first. Miracles are called signs in the New Testament, at least in the Greek New Testament, 60 times. Signs. What does a sign do? It tells you something. If you've got a sign out there and it says 35, what's that mean? We can go 35,000 miles an hour? We can go 35 more feet and have to stop? 35, what's that? Well, it also says speed limit, doesn't it? How fast we can drive. Or if it says stop, we stop. A sign is there to tell us something. The word is chosen to identify a miracle because it distinguishes the person performing the miracle as being authorized messenger of a superior being. A sign is an emblem of identification. Sometimes this power comes from God, but sometimes it doesn't. Do you remember the, I can't think of the name of the town, the people tried to chain this man up, or tie him up, and that man did what? He broke him. Now, Ruth, if we tied you up in chains and ropes, could you break it? Somehow that man got power. Superhuman power. Once again, we just read it. The man of evil will come by the power of Satan. He will have great power and he will do many different false miracles, signs, and wonders. The Bible says Satan can appear as an angel of light. That also means we need to be careful if we think we see an angel. We need to realize Satan can appear as an angel. And if Satan can appear as an angel, then I would not doubt that his servants can appear as angels, or at least as servants of righteousness. But even Jesus knew that performing a miracle was not necessarily a reliable proof of one's divine mission. Was the one thing the Jews always asked of Jesus. Give us a sign. Did Jesus give them signs? Over and over and over again. What kind of sign were they looking for? Well, one that said what they wanted to hear. They just didn't get one like that. Satan is a master counterfeiter. He counterfeits God in every way that he can. A counterfeit is what? It's fake. But it has to look real because he is the master deceiver as well. You know, in the Treasury Department, you know how they train people to know real money? They teach them what real money is and looks like. They don't show them fake money. They teach them from real money. If you know the real thing, you're going to recognize counterfeits if you know what you're looking for. Satan is a master counterfeiter, a master deceiver. We need to remember that. Wonders. Let's take a look at wonders now. Miracles were often called wonder because of the effect it had on people. Did you know that, Charlie? Why we call a wonder, or whether the Bible calls it that, it has an effect on people. It makes people wonder. Something which was done that totally amazed the beholders. A wonder had to be something apart from normal human possibilities to make people wonder. I wish I could have seen it. In the Old Testament, I think it was Elijah. God gave him superhuman power, and he had the power of running with speed, and he running, beat the king who was on horse and chariot back to town. Isn't that amazing? That would have evoked great wonder. This word in the Greek is used 16 times. Not only was the word used for the works of Jesus and his apostles, but had been attributed to Satan as well. Since wonders can be performed by Satan, working wonders alone is not proof that someone is a servant of God. This word does show us something important. The very nature of a miracle demands that it be unusual and uncommon in the sight of a large audience. So if I said, Charlie, you have a backache tonight? Tomorrow you won't. And tomorrow he goes home. Oh, my back doesn't hurt today. Oh, Monty did a miracle! Well, you know, just telling someone that they're going to be feeling better the next day might help that person feel better the next day.
Another man had a pain in his back or something like that. The same thing. Then there was a lady who was as bald, her hair was as thin as any woman I've ever seen. She says, I have this scalp condition. And if you hadn't seen the preacher back there, he started saying that. Now, sometimes it takes 2 or 3 days for these things to take place. Sure enough, after he had prayed for her, he said, now, in 2 or 3 days, that should have happened. True story. I was there.
And yet, these things are common. These things are not wondrous. Doctors give what's known as placebo sometimes. And often it helps the patient, even though there's no effect in a placebo, the sugar. But these things are not miracles. Because a miracle provoked wonder because it was not something a human being could do. Now had that man said, let your scalp be healed and may your hair grow back, and it instantly grew back, that would have brought wonder. That would have brought wonder. That would have been a miracle. And it's amazing, the miracles of the New Testament. You know, the parents said, I know my son was blind. As to how he sees, you need to ask him. The parents verified it. Our son was blind. How he can see now, I have no idea. That was a miracle. Miracle when a cripple who couldn't walk at all, and everybody knew it, had known him for years, and all of a sudden he was walking. That, brethren, is a miracle. What we have today are pathetic excuses, man-made miracles. They may feel better for a while, but that is no miracle. When miracles become commonplace, they lose their uniqueness. If every single day I would go out and raise a dead person, eventually, what would that become? Commonplace. Oh, that's the 33rd person he's raised from the bed. No big deal. Yeah. Look, you don't believe me? Look at the people of Israel in the desert. For 40 years, God worked miracles. Did he not? And for the people? No big deal. See, miracles don't necessarily produce faith. Lasting faith. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that. Today, there is every evidence of an enormous resurgent of interest in the spiritual world here in America. The New Age movement is big. Going to other spiritual type religions, even Islam is growing in the United States. There is a spiritual resurgence here in America. And Western countries like the United States, Canada, and Europe are particularly susceptible to these spiritual advancements that people are claiming. Our advancements in science and industrial technology has been greater than it's ever been before. You know, when I was a kid, we had black and white television. Today we've got plasma television. Isn't that amazing? Materialism has become the God of the West. This has left us spiritually impoverished. Hence, many churches have been transformed into social institutions, only out to do good. Not that that's bad. But God's power is rarely seen or felt. And so people are being left in a power vacuum. Because, let it be known, we are spiritual as well as physical beings. We need the spiritual. And so these people are turning with spiritual hunger to the deceptions and counterfeits of Satan. People are turning in large numbers to New Age thoughts, which are not new at all. They are turning to Islam and other false religions. And let it be known, brethren, this is the work of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. If a religion is false and leads people away from God, brethren, it is the work of demons. Don't deny it, accept it. There are real wonders to behold in Satan's counterfeits. But what good is power if it leads people away from God Almighty? Mighty works. Miracles in the Scriptures are often termed mighty works, and in the Greek this happens 28 times. The Greek word views the miracle simply from the perspective of power. The real source was always superhuman, whether it be God or whether it be Satan. Jesus performed mighty works, as did the apostles and some Christians. But let it be known, even the servants of Satan worked mighty works. When Moses went to Pharaoh's magicians could counterfeit a few of the wonders that Moses did. Remember that? Let me read to you something Jesus prophesied in Matthew 7, 22 and verses following. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Now here, Jesus' people are going to come to him on that day and say, I did miracles in your name. And what's Jesus going to say? Depart from me. Because their source of power was not God. Or in Acts chapter 8, particularly I'm going to read verses 9 through 11, and you know him as Simon the sorcerer. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is the divine power known as the great power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. Now what this man did, I don't know. But it was something unique that amazed the people. Until what? Until when, maybe I should say? Until the day they saw a true miracle being done through Philip. Then they could compare the counterfeit with real. And that day, many, many Samaritans came to Christ. Miracles demand a power source higher than what mankind possesses. But since Scripture portrays evil men doing mighty works, we need to conclude that raw power, a miracle, does not make a man or a woman come from God. When one compares the vast majority of modern miracles and compare them to the New Testament, these miracles sink into oblivion, unworthy of even carrying the name of miracle. Where is the discernment among Christians today? Have Christians lost all ability to distinguish between presumption and faith? Is the person closest to God he whose statements are the most daring and the most alarming? He who can do the most wondrous things? I say no. Such blatant sensationalism robs Christianity of its glory and its goodness, transforming its adherents from humble servants into pretentious showmen. Are we here to bring praise to men or praise to God? The topic of miracles is no trifling matter. Confusion here could result in disaster in Christianity, and has. The devil is a master of deceit. He does have power because the Bible tells us he does. This fact, combined with the limitations of human knowledge concerning miracle, can increase the possibility of our deception. We need all the help available to aid us in making correct assumptions about miracles. Christ warned the day is coming when false prophets would arise. I didn't write down where I got this, but that's verses 23 through 25. At that time, someone might say to you, look, there is the Christ. Or another person might say to you, there he is. But don't believe them. False Christ and false prophets will come and perform great wonders and miracles. They will try to fool even the people of God, if that is possible. Now I have warned you about this before it happened. Thank you. I forgot to put that part down. I don't know if any other preacher has that problem, but sometimes I get carried away and write down all the verses and have no idea where they came from. But Matthew 24. Jesus also warned us with the words of Paul. I did write this one down. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 10. We've already read it. The man of evil will come by the power of Satan. He will have great power and he will do many different false miracles, signs, and wonders. He will use every kind of evil to trick those who are lost. They will die because they refuse to love the truth. If they loved the truth, they would be saved. For this reason, God sends them something powerful that leads them away from the truth so they will believe a lie. Of course, they've already believed the lie, didn't they? Because they wanted to ignore truth. So all those will be judged guilty who did not believe the truth, but enjoyed doing evil. The key is to love the truth. To love the truth, one must first know the truth. And as Jesus said to God the Father, "Your word is truth." We must study and learn the word of truth. And that's found only in the Bible. For me, it is better to study the words of truth than to study a false doctrine. After all, false doctrine is what? The teaching of demons, the Bible says. And if you start studying the words of demons and they're out to deceive you, it could very well be possible that you believe the words. And so, personally, I never more read false doctrine and study it, even though my thought was to be able to confront it. Because Satan's power should not be underestimated. One of the greatest signs that a miracle or a wonder or a sign is not of God, if it leads you to a truth that lays outside of God's revealed word or changes God's revealed word. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, "He will use every kind of evil to trick those who are lost. They will die because they refused to love the truth." Would you like to be saved? 1 Peter 3:18 and following. Christ himself suffered for sins once. He was not guilty, but he suffered for those who are guilty to bring you to God. His body was killed, but he was made alive in the Spirit. And in the Spirit he went and preached to the spirits in prison who refused to obey God long ago in the time of Noah. God was waiting patiently for them while Noah was building the boat. Only a few people, 8 in all, were saved by water. And that water is like baptism that now saves you. Not the washing of dirt from the body, but the promise made to God from a good conscience. And this is because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Now Jesus has gone into heaven and is at God's right side, ruling over angels, authorities, and powers. We're going to continue the thought of miracles. But this evening, there might be one who is not yet a child of God. One open to deception from Satan. To become a child of God, Peter says, we must be baptized, washing away our sins, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and God adding us to His church. If there is one who would like to obey the Lord this evening, come as we stand and sing.